It is a very good morning on this fabulous Group 1 race day from Flemington, and we are happy to say we are back live from headquarters on Kennedy Australian Guineas Day, one of the great races on the Australian calendar, and we can't wait to count down until the racing kicks off here at headquarters. Matty Stewart, Dan Malecki are with me as always. Gentlemen, how good to be back at headquarters.
Amazing. It's one of those nothing days weather-wise. It's neither sunny nor breezy or anything. It's one of those sort of still sort of days, but the action's going to be amazing today. And it was once a pop-up, I guess, wasn't it, the Australian Guineas back in 87, but it's now...
86.
86, sorry, well established. I knew you'd get me. It's well established now, and it's a terrific race with a rich history, albeit over only about 30 years. So, and Harrovians and others going around. And I'm looking at, it's typically wet in Sydney, of course, but some really interesting clashes up there as well.
Well, the Australian Guineas is a big enough race. Good morning, everyone. To stand up on its own, it doesn't have to be a part of the Super Saturday anymore. It's a big enough race. It's very much a national thing today. I mentioned before Australia Day with the Australian Guineas Gallops, the Australian Trotting Grand Prix at the Trots and the Australian Cup at the Greyhounds.
This could be the new date.
But when you look at the horses and where they've come from, I think it's the strongest influence we've had from Western Australia ever for the Autumn Carnival. Mm. We've got Queenslanders, New South Wales and Tasmania and South Australia all represented at Flemington today, plus two previous winners of the Guineas and Haydock and Mystic Journey. So it's a wonderful fusion of horses trained right across Australia today.
And a bit on the line for the Tagaloras and Ole Kirks. I mean, regardless of what we think about whether it's a vintage crop or not, these are $20 million colts whose value is not tenuous, but it's certainly confirmed if they can come out today.
Well, there's no doubt. It's write your own ticket if either of them win. They're already very valuable regardless. But I'm glad to see Team Hawks and the ownership of Ole Kirk have another throw at the stumps, not just wrapping cotton wool after what happened last week, because
I think they had a bit of taste after last week.
Well, and come and prove themselves right. They said that the track was the issue last week. Today, there's no excuses. He's drawn a little wide, but fabulous track at Flemington, which we're about to hear about from Liam O'Keefe. So there's nowhere to hide today.
No, that's right. And look, and Liam might even back this up when we talk to him as well. I'd rather draw out than in at Flemington these days. You don't get as much traffic, and you can get in a train, a three-wide train with a little bit of cover, and that's often the best scenario.
In the circle races, most definitely. Yeah. It's the hardest luck stories you'll see at any track. Maybe the exception is Valley Lotto when the rail's out and stuck in behind the leader. But here on the turning tracks, 14 and 1600, when they, you know, stop start tactics mid-race, they almost always don't get a run. I think Sarah Sue's been about the only horse that's done that and got through the tail of the field right up against the rails.
Might need a cutaway.
He's just fallen off his chair, Liam O'Keefe, who joins us. It's good to see you live here, Liam. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys.
Well, the track's looking magnificent, as it always does. You haven't had a hot week. It's been a very mild week compared to what we've seen in recent weeks in Melbourne.
Yeah, it has been mild, and we received 6.4 mil of rain early in the week, and also, probably for the first time in a while, we've had to put a jumper on the morning and the evening. We're entering the cooler time approaching autumn, so it's an area you can get caught out as a track manager because you're used to just putting on water after water in the summer, but this week it's changed around, so we've adjusted our irrigation accordingly.
You've probably been fortunate in some ways because some of your contemporaries at other tracks, they've got the rough end of the stick as far as the weather forecast has been concerned. This week, it's probably been as close to the most accurate weather forecast we've had for a long time. And we've seen how that's played out, particularly on hot days and what sort of rain that you've got to put into the track. From that point of view, you probably kept checking your bomb radar every 3 or 4 hours because it changes that quick. But it was reasonably accurate this week, which must help a little bit, Liam.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you're watering to. You're watering to a forecast. And if the forecast changes, then quite often so can the track conditions. So even today, I watered this to be a sunny morning and it's overcast and there's a really heavy dew and my feet are wet. So it can change all the time. And when you're trying to get it so fine to a good four for half the card, it's only got to take a mil or two the other way.
Across town, they seem to be working to a slightly different template of recent times, and Jason Kerr's been very upfront about that, and I think for everyone who's critical, there are other people who think that it's a good move in a welfare sense as well. But it was a 4.5, even back to the Sir Dragon A meeting, it was softer than usual to start, and then sort of the upgrade came quite late in the day, and the same was last Saturday. Is there any similarity between the policy of the VRC and the MRC in recent times? Has it been tweaked a little bit, but because it certainly seems to have been over there.
Yeah, since they changed the policy to good four, we've tried to do that of just putting that little bit extra water on, have the good four a little bit deeper into the card rather than after second or third, and it's been really well received. So that's what we've been trying to do. But probably in the last two or three years, the move for preparing a track has been, like in golf, when you hit the green, your miss is the fat part of the green. Our miss now is to put a little bit too much water on, because that tends to suit everyone. Whereas even 5 or 6 years ago, you'd probably have it a bit firmer, but have it play fairer. But now it's just swung around that little bit. So I guess if you're 50-50, you're going to water rather than not water now.
And you've got next week as well, the Super Saturday. So while preparing this track for today, you must always have next Saturday in mind with all those big Group 1 races, which gets me to the 2-metre rail position. What's that about? Because it's obviously a very small section of ground.
Yeah, that's right. So with the rail moves here, Flemington's quite unique to other tracks in that they race very tight, say 1 and 2 file, from basically the 1400 right round to the 500. They don't fan out because we have a long straight. Like what you were talking about before, horses can get held up on the fence. They don't fan off the turn here. They come around as a 2 file, then go 3, 4, 5, then spread out and then run home. So damage around the turn is high, but it's very concentrated. So you've only got to quite often move it 2 metres to cover the wear. So that explains the 2-metre move from Lightning Stakes Day. And the reason why we have to move the rail is because now we're putting more water on, we're getting more damage, so to counteract that damage. So in other words, if I left the rail in true today, they would have just got off the fence.
All right, so you better give us the numbers for today with the, I was going to say penetrometer, that's so 1980s. Whatever the thing is now.
But so are you, mate.
And then an update on the big tipping competition with your compatriots, and then we better get a best from your spying during the week at Flemington.
No worries. So the numbers for the going stick are 9 overall, 9 on the inside of the straight, 8.8 on the outside of the straight, and the shear is 11.8. Running rail 2 metre position, good 4. And for our tipping comp, myself and Jason are on 4 wins. Marty's on 3, but one doesn't count because he tipped $1.10 shot last night.
What the hell was he thinking? Does he really think he can slide that one through?
Yeah, I know. He didn't get it past. And then Tim Bailey's on 2. But to be fair to Tim, he's been up looking after overseeing the Seymour track rebuild, so he hasn't been able to tip. And my best for today is ASAR each way all day.
And he's on a heater. He tipped Nature Strip last start.
Well, we're going for 2 in a row, yeah, so look well out.
Done. Exactly well right. You know, when he was reading out all of the track specifics, that was just all off the head. There was nothing on a phone, nothing written down. You've just got all of that committed to memory.
This is my 9th interview, so you learned a lot of you.
He's going to know something. It's going to be those numbers, Michael, isn't it?
Just quickly, just interesting point what you said about now that we are watering to a good 4 and with more given the track, that then creates more wear and tear, which can in turn create more bias, because there was criticism about the inside of the track churning out last week, which was probably because it was a softer track than had previously been done, and it's softer to what we've seen in recent years, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's simple. The more water you put on, the harder it is to get even, because you're doing it artificially, and then if it's hard to get even, you can find different, you know, faster and softer parts of the track. So the challenge for us is, because in Australia, we're really unique in that being to Hong Kong, track's a lot firmer. Same as Japan. In England, the weather conditions are cool, they hardly have to water. In Australia, we have very harsh conditions, very hot, dry, windy conditions, and they want pretty, you know, reasonably soft tracks. So we're very unique. We've got to put a lot of water on here in what can be challenging conditions. So
punters can always adapt to a pattern. So it's not the death
knell. Yeah, it's probably for us what we've got to do now. If we think we see something, just say it. Just say, look, there is wear on the fence, and they're going to get off the fence after a few. And if you can pick it, just say it, because punters don't like surprises. Mm. But if you can say it, and then you guys can say, look, they actually said that, and there was a reason why. Even Dan said about the 2-metre rail move. Thinking next week, if I get a full field in the new market, I can't move the running rail. So we're going to have wear on the fence, and I can't move the running rail. So I've sort of had an each way bet that I'm going to go 2 and then go to 4 and bank on a field of 20. So you've always got a challenge around the corner. And just speaking to Racing Victoria and Lee, we don't think it's going to be a field greater than 20, so I can move the rail. Yep. So otherwise I would have had to nearly go true again today so that I could move it for Newmarket Day. So there's always a few little curveballs, but you just got to work with what you got and do the best you can.
So with the rail out 2 today, will they be on the fence? Will they be coming down the middle?
So we've got five round the bend, four up the straight. So round the circle, they'll just spread out, run home, and then up the straight, I think the two-year-olds normally roll down to the inside to get the guide, and then the other straight races middle to outside and sprint home from there.
Liam, it's a bloody tough job, but we've got the best in the business in Victoria. They're man on a mission all over Australia. They've been consigned to fix the tracks, so it's good to see it doing so well.
And when you walk out of here and back to your tractor, you're going to do it to the sounds of Blondie's Atomic over the PA. Matt Hills just excitedly texted me and said, they're playing Blondie over the PA! So you can go back to a bit of Atomic.
Sounds good.
You'd be the music man here too, wouldn't you? You'd be organising what's on the playlist.
I've been known to dance at the Christmas party, but that's about it.
Good on you, Liam.